Isn't that wonderful that God forgives and he forgets? We have a hard time with it for sure. In fact, from studying the Word of God, that's the only thing, the one and only thing that God forgets is our sins. He remembers everything we do for him. He remembers us. He loves us, but he chooses to forget our sin. Shall we just look to the Lord in a brief word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Operation Christmas Child. We pray that we'll be generous, Lord, this year and in donating these boxes. We pray that they'll go to the kids who need to hear the gospel, and your love will come to them and they'll be saved. And Lord, we just thank you for this time now and pray that you'll speak to our hearts through the word by the Holy Spirit and keep me hidden behind the cross. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Nothing is more important than the will of God. I think we can agree upon that. And 90%, they say, of the will of God is already revealed to us in his word. The other 10% are the circumstances we go through, what he wants us to do. But we're thankful that he's given us his will to follow. Someone once said, the will of God, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That's really all that matters in life, isn't it? To do the will of God. So many times there's a conflict, though, between our will and God's will. And we have to be subservient to his will and say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. When I was sick, I was thinking about this quite a bit because, as I mentioned earlier today, I wanted to be back so much, so much. But I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you for your will. And that's what I did. I realized that God was in control, that he had a plan and a purpose for it. And every one of us, no matter what we're going through today, can thank God that his will is good and acceptable and perfect in our lives. The Lord Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, and the very first thing he said after "Hallowed be thy name," he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How is the will of God done in heaven? It's done perfectly. It's done immediately. All the angels and everyone obeys. Down here, we have a harder time because we're still in the flesh. We still have the old nature. We want our own way. We want to fix things. We want to set things up. Rick used a good term in the scripture memory class. We want to move the chess pieces of our lives around. That's doing our will. But God wants us to let him be the master, chess master, and move the pieces in our life the way he wants to arrange them for his glory. The title of our message today is Nothing But the Will of God. The three things that we're going to look at, and you saw them already on a couple of times during the video there, gave you a little taste here. So these are the three things we're going to look at. Accept the will of God, appreciate the will of God, and act on the will of God. Yes, we need to accept the will of God. Sometimes God puts us in a position where we have to accept it. We may not like it, but we have to accept it. And we realize God has lessons to teach us. He wants to do things through us, and he has to mold us. He's the potter, we're the clay, and he wants to do his will in our lives. But I had a hard time accepting that I had COVID. First of all, I thought I had a cold. I had nasal congestion. I had started with a sore throat, then nasal congestion got into my chest, and I said, well, I've got a cold. Never did it enter into my mind that I might have COVID. I had COVID once before in 2022. Well, I got it again. But it's so wonderful when you have such godly counsel, somebody that really loves you so very much, like our brother Adel here, my dad. He just said a simple question, asked me a simple question. Did you get a COVID test? I said, you know, I never did. Right then, that day, that morning, I went down to Kaiser and got two of those COVID tests. And sure enough, I tested positive for COVID. And it went on for quite a while before the Lord healed me, but I'm very thankful that he taught me so many lessons through it. You know, the Lord Jesus was fully committed to do the will of the Father. And he says in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, Father, if it is possible, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, if we could start off every morning and say that, Lord, not my will today, may your will be done. Just think how the day is going to go. He's going to take us through it by his grace, and it's going to be an amazing thing. And so we should have that same commitment and desire to accept the will of God. Jesus accepted the will of God, meaning he accepted to go to the cross. He accepted to bear the punishment that was our due. He accepted to feel the pain in his hands and his feet and his side and everything he went through. It's amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish or accomplish his work. You know, the great apostle Paul learned how important God's will was when three times he prayed that God would remove the thorn of his flesh. God did not remove the thorn of his flesh, but he gave him grace to handle the thorn in his flesh. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When we're in the center of God's will, we're in the best place in the whole universe, right in the center of his will. Like if I come down from the podium and I walk down this aisle, I'm going right through the center. And that's what he wants us to do, is to be in the center of his will. And Paul accepted his will. He could actually rejoice in his infirmities and the persecutions he went through and all the difficulties because he knew he was in the will of God and he did it for Christ's sake. Yes, it's important. And when we think about accepting the will of God, it means that we need to submit to him. We need to surrender to him. And we need to allow him to be in control. So many times we want to drive, don't we? We want to be in the driver's seat, driving the car. The Lord sits there patiently in the passenger side until we realize that we crashed. We got in trouble. We need the Lord. You say, Lord, here's the keys, you take over. Here's the steering wheel, you take over. And the more we can do that on a daily basis, the more peace we'll have, the more joy we'll have, and the more we'll be in his will. So that's our first point today. Accept the will of God. It's not going to be easy to accept it. There's many things that happen and challenging things. And we have to just accept it and say, Lord, this is your will. I'm going to accept it. Secondly, not only do we need to accept God's will, we need to appreciate God's will. Now, this is maybe even harder than accepting the will of God, is to appreciate it. When you're going through some struggles and it's tough, you don't feel like appreciating it. You don't feel like rejoicing in it. You don't feel like being thankful for it. But that's the best way we can do it, is to be thankful for his will and appreciate it in our lives. And so many times I think about, if God had given me all the things I wanted and all the things I prayed for, where would I be? I wouldn't be in a good place, because he knows what I need. He knows what you need, and he brings it to us in just the right time according to his will. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and Brother Gabe, where are you? He's here somewhere. Right, there you are. You stole part of this message, but that's good. Because I've been a thief myself to Adel's messages and different things. Well, you stole a little piece of it anyway. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Years ago, when I was at North Oakland Bible Chapel, one of the brothers there, George Armening, told a story about a football player, young football player, and he was on the field playing the game. And he was running toward the goal line. Last seconds of the game, he was running toward the goal line. He got to the 1 yard line and he was tackled before he could score the touchdown. And he said to his dad, "Dad, it was hard to appreciate that. It was hard to be thankful for that. Because when something doesn't go completely the right way for us, we don't feel like being thankful. But we need to thank the Lord in the positive and in the negative things, in the things that are hard and the things that are easy. And instead of getting frustrated and disappointed, we leave things in His hands and He will take care of us." The question is, how do we respond to the will of God? Do we fight against it or do we accept it and appreciate it? That's the question for us. A man named Charles L. Brown, in his publication, Content, the newsletter, June of 1990, asked the question, "Why did only one leper return to give thanks to Jesus?" The following are 9 suggested reasons why the 9 didn't return. I thought these were good. They're a little humorous, but they're very true. One said, "I waited to see if the cure was real." Another said, "I waited to see if it would last." Another one said, "He would see Jesus later." Another said that he decided that he had never had leprosy. This is amazing, right? One said, "I would have gotten well anyway." Another said, "I gave the glory to the priests." One said, "Oh, well, Jesus really didn't do anything." Another said, "Any rabbi could have done it." And the 9th one said, "I was already much improved." Kind of humorous, isn't it? But it's so true. People don't return to give thanks to the Lord. And in that story, only one man returned, and he was a Samaritan, and he came and he thanked the Lord for what he had done for him. And he fell at his feet and was so, so thankful. And that's the way the Lord wants us to be. And that's why Jesus said, "Where are the 9? Is there only one who returned to give thanks?" Yes, it's important for us to give thanks in everything. And it's also important for us to give thanks for everything. That's even tougher. Because when something is painful and difficult and hard, it's hard to give thanks for that. We say, "Well, I'll give thanks in it," but we have to also give thanks for it. It says in Ephesians 5:20, "Giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Sean is agreeing to this because you gave that at one of the men's lunches, right? Yeah. So praise God. Yes, we need to give thanks for all things. And you know, the Lord delights when we give thanks to Him. He really does. Just like Jesus was so happy when that one leper came back and gave thanks. And He wants us to do the same thing. And then finally, not only do we need to accept God's will, not only do we need to appreciate God's will, but we need to act on God's will. It's not enough to know God's will. We have to do it. We have to do it. It takes grace, and He will give us the needed grace to do His will at the needed time. Someone once said, "Do God's will at any cost." I like that. Do God's will at any cost. And sometimes it costs us something. And He wants us to lay down our will, like I said, and act upon His will. And He will bless us. And yet sometimes we consider it, we say, I'll consider it. Right? Sounds good. Or I'll get around to it someday. Years ago, someone had the idea, I don't know who it was, but they came up with a little wooden coin. They took a piece of wood and they cut it into the shape of a coin like that. And they called it a round to it. T-U-I-T, they called it a round to it. Oh, this is going to be great. Whenever you have something to do, a hard thing to do, just get out your round to it and do it, right? So may the Lord help us to get around to it right away. Yes, we need to desire and determine God's will, and then we need to do it. I think about Ananias, who was the person there in Paul's day when he was Saul of Tarsus, and he got saved on the Damascus road, and the Lord told Ananias what to do, and he said, Saul's going to come, and you need to help him, and you need to encourage him, and he's going to be my servant, and he's going to preach to the Gentiles and the whole world. And Ananias probably said, or was at least he was probably thinking, how do I know if this Saul of Tarsus is really a changed man for Christ? How do I know it? He may be just infiltrating our ranks so that he can find out where the Christians are and arrest them and so forth. You know, he could have thought that way, but he didn't. He realized that God would never ask him to do something that was not going to be good. And it turned out good. He took care of Saul, who became Paul. He went and introduced him to all the Christians there in Damascus in a wonderful way. And I think there's going to be a big crown for him in heaven. Can you imagine to help Saul, who was then later called Paul, help him on his first journey for Christ? When somebody gets saved, they need our help to get growing and to be discipled. And that's what Ananias did. He was such a help and encouragement to Paul. One of the most wonderful hymns that we have in our book, we sang this morning, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, written by Adelaine Pollard. The first verse says, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. So many times it's hard to be yielded and still. And that's what we need to do. An interesting story was told, and I told this story, I think, quite a few years ago, but it fits in with what we're saying today. In the summer of 1986, two ships collided off the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. Imagine that. News of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. It wasn't a problem with technology or anything with the ship or the crew or anything. The problem was, it was the stubbornness of the two captains. Neither captain wanted to steer clear. He wanted to have his own way, and they kept getting too close, and they crashed. By the time they realized what they were doing, it was too late. It's never good to have that kind of conflict, because that shows we're against each other or we're against the Lord's will, and we don't want that. So as we conclude the message today, let's remember to accept God's will, to appreciate God's will, and to act on God's will. We're going to have a chance today when we go out these doors to commit ourselves to the will of God and to let Him have control of our lives. And we need to act on His will in every circumstance and situations. Can we say today, nothing but the will of God? Can we say today, God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else? Shall we just close in a word of prayer? We pray, our Father, that you will help us to accept your will, even when we're going through some hard circumstances, Lord. Help us to just trust you for it, just to relax and have peace in your everlasting arms. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to appreciate your will and to give thanks to you for all things and in all things. Help us, Lord, to know that you have our best interests in mind. And Lord, help us to act on your will. When we know what your will is, help us to do it. Help us not to be like the horse that bolts away or bolts ahead. Nor should we be like the donkey, Lord, that is stubborn. But help us rather to be in your will, Lord. We just thank you and praise you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. And if there's anyone here today who has never received Christ, we know it's the will of God that they be saved, Lord, and pray that they will come and confess their sin and ask you to come into their lives, Lord Jesus. We just praise you now and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.